Father, we thank you for sharing that thing.
Minds are receptive to your word, will receive your word this evening with gladness, with meekness, and with joy. Thank you, Lord. For the put error in our minds, there's no error as your word is stopped in Jesus' name. So, Matthew chapter number 28. Now, when I'm going to graduate from Matthew 28, wait first. I'm going to graduate in time soon. How are we? Matthew 28. Now, we're thinking on it. Teaching, we'll have this teaching 20. We're going to take on a teaching around this topic once in 2 years, for a while now. It's around giving. We are looking at giving in the local church. Hallelujah. Giving in the local church. Glory to God. Many are fine. They are, I will say this from Pastor Shedding. Most times, when people try to correct a certain extreme, they go to another extreme. And it becomes like you are compounding the issue. Do you understand me? You don't solve an extreme case with another extreme case. Do you know? So you don't change it. You know, recently in our world and in our time, some people began to say, okay, tithe and some other kind of giving that is legalistic. And because of that, they stopped giving in the church. And many a times the reason why people take such stand is one, they are not well taught. So in the act of protesting, they become protestant instead of actually being God's word. They become rebellious to the process and as a result stop the process altogether. Amen? I know that there are several people who, for the sake, because of tithe, they stop giving in church. So tithe is legalistic. You know, we're going to look at tithe too. Giving is okay. We're going to look at it. And we are going to give. Hallelujah. At the end of this teaching, not at the end, by December 8th, first week of February, we'll be. First week of February, marketing, Saturday, I mean Thursday and Sunday. So those who will skip Thursday will give Sunday. We'll be. I'm not giving you 1,000 or 200. So stop. I'm teaching you to prepare. Amen. We'll give big. Hallelujah. Amen. So we must learn to give to our local church. Okay, you hearing me? What's the message to our local church? So I want to treat that teaching, that topic on giving. Not fighting anybody, not giving a dog, but teaching it as God's word teaches it. They will have, the first time we had a teaching around this that the word on the fight is Bible doctrine on giving. So we're going to listen to Bible doctrine on giving. Hallelujah. Then the second one is what? Giving as a... Eh? That I know you don't know. Giving and receiving. Giving and receiving 2021. Giving and receiving 2021. And we do that. Giving in the local church. Funny enough, before I took on this topic, I had to go back to those notes and those teachings. Hallelujah! So, we're taking it off from where we stopped on both. Matthew 28. And Jesus came and said to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and in the earth. He will go therefore and teach all nations. Teach all nations. He says, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Now he says the word, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Mark that in your scriptures. Now, he said, this will be the Jesus' instruction within the 40 days. Right? His instruction to his disciples. Within the 40 days. Now, in Mark 16, from verses 15, just in the next chapter, he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel. He used another word, preach the gospel. First of all, in chapter 28 of Mark, he used the word, all authority has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples. Then he said, preach the gospel. He said, he that believes and is baptized shall be saved. He that believes not shall be damned. You know, and this sign. This is what? Chapter 1 and number 8. So first of all, mark these with the entry into discipleship. Amen. This is the entry into discipleship. While Matthew will focus on the discipleship aspect of that instruction. This is what? Okay, everybody. Discipleship aspect of the instruction. Make disciples. Which will include for them to be saved by the preaching of the gospel. You see that? That is how you say it. See, you can't afford that believe in my name, they'll cast out devils. So they will speak in your tongues. So they will take up serpents, and they shall drink any deadly thing, you shall not hurt them. So they will lay their hands on the sick, mark that, and the sick will recover for them after the Lord had spoken to them. He was received up into heaven and sat at the right hand of God, and they went forth and preached everywhere, with the Lord walking with and confirming the word with signs following. If I were to be you in my Bible, something that we're going to do for a while in the year is to how to read Bible, cross-read Bible before some other things. If I will look at what it says, and they went forth and preached everywhere, in my Bible, I'm going to highlight it and put the book of Acts. That is the mass record of the book of Acts. You see that? They preached everywhere, with the Lord walking with and confirming the word with signs following us, the book of Acts. Hallelujah. The same thing too, we are there to mark that where it says go preach the gospel. When I look at that word preach the gospel, it will be a kingdom language. Hallelujah. Kingdom narrative to every creature. So when it says every creature, in my Bible I'm going to mark Deuteronomy chapter 6 from verses 2 into 8. I'll mark Deuteronomy 6. Hallelujah. What do you mean? Hallelujah. That is Genesis 6-8. And what is it saying? He that is this, I mean, go to preach the gospel. He that believes and is baptized. So that word believe there would be Deuteronomy 6 over 2-8. Read verse, I'll just take verse 5 and verse 6. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might. You don't say verse 6. And this one which I have commanded thee this day shall be in thy heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto the children, and shalt talk to them when thou sittest in thy house. And thou shalt walk by the way, and thou shalt light thy horizon of this, and thou shalt bind them for a sign upon the hands, and thou shalt be the founder between the eyes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So he uses the word in verse 6, I commanded this day shall be in thy heart. That is to believe. Hallelujah. Okay, you ready? Okay. So, we will do that. Then if you get to Luke 24, verse 44, so these are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you. I wrote this for the fulfillment of everything in the law of Moses, in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me. And he opened he their understanding that they might comprehend the scriptures. A bit elaborate, more elaborated than Matthew and Mark. Hallelujah. More elaborated. Luke tells us that Jesus taught them from the scriptures. Look at verses 46. And that says, thought of this reason and thought of behold Christ, to suffer and to rise from the dead in the third day. 47. And that repentance, mark that word, repentance and remission of sins. When you use the word repentance and remission of sins, be preached. That would be an opening of what Mark accounts of what preach the gospel. So Luke writing from Mark's account and Matthew's account will say the preaching of the gospel is the preaching of God's repentance and forgiveness of sins. So he calls the gospel of God's forgiveness of sins. Okay, are following it? Amen. Amen. It is named among all nations beginning at Jerusalem. Very vital for you to see. So, where am I? Okay, so, Luke makes us see that Jesus read from 39 books. From the 39 books. Genesis down to Malachi. He read from there. So, that implies, when Jesus reads from there and Jesus is God, amen? Oh, sorry, I didn't read John. This day I've been skipping John. John 20. Let's get to John. John. Sometimes I don't remember until I say, oh, I didn't read John. Maybe I'm already separating John from the synoptic. Yeah, John 20. Are you there? Amen. Okay. Verse 22. And when he had said this, he breathed into them and said to them, receive the Holy Ghost. Now when you use the word he breathed into them and said, receive the Holy Ghost, that's the word emphasau. Emphasau. Now, emphasau is used for how you breathe upon, and it's used for how you it causes a quickening from inside. So when you read emphasau into Luke's account, because Luke, Matthew and Mark, okay, Matthew and Mark were already in circulation. Luke was written to Theophilus, right? But they were all written by this time. And John, being Jesus' disciple, apostle, now, he now said he emphasized. Now, that is a style of writing. Rather than going down, is what I'm going to teach you sometime this sentence. He will now write in shorthand. So when you want emphasize, is a shorthand of what happened. So he summarized 40 days into brief on them. You see that? Now what we have done. So that would be Luke's summary of he taught them 40 days. You see that? He summarized 40 days into he breathed on them. You know, many of times before now, we think when he says he breathed on them, you have to say, hey, take it. And all of them are going to burn again by fire by force. No. You know? No, when he says, and the breath on them will be 40 days teaching. It was a teaching meeting. Something will expand. I guess I've done a bit of it sometime last year. Amen. He breath on them that they receive the Holy Ghost. Now he says, and top of this meeting, that means the instruction came after the teaching. Amen. And then 23, whosoever sees their remit, sorry, are remitted to them. This will be the same thing, Luke's instruction of repentance and remission of sin, which will be done by what? Preaching. Did you see that? So remember, if you read John alone, you might think, without reading well, you might think, well, you just go to these people and you'll say, I'm now anointed, born of God, I forgive your sins. Hey, wisdom, you did not give me PSI, your sins are retained. You, because you are supporting mercy, hey, you are not going to be forgiven. You, because you went to C4 and stayed in C4, your sins will never be forgiven. You, because you came to Lagos and didn't come to church, you went to 7 and 8, oh my God, you are gone. You, because you, I now got a job, I, you, because, why? Because I am anointed. And I'm going to do what? To preach the gospel, and whatever sin I forgive. You know, that is why some people, I'm not calling any name now, now go to meet a particular person called your priest to ask for forgiveness. Because they believe you say, well, your priest says you are forgiving, you are forgiving. Your priest says you should go and feed. I asked him, why are you feeding pigeons? He said, because when I went to confess my sins, priest said I should feed pigeons for 1 month. I said, Jesus Christ. He said, that is how I will receive a... I was just laughing. I said, wow. How about just saying, Lord, I'm sorry. Or just getting born again. Glory to God. Okay, there it is. Amen. Oh my, I'm just, I'm not responding to anybody. I'm just teaching. Hallelujah. So if you read John into Matthew and Mark plus Luke, you recall that the, remember when you see, receive the Holy Ghost and you read it as teaching, right? It now says, whosoever sins here remit, and you are reading Luke. And Luke is saying, repentance and remission of sin be preached. That means forgiveness of sin is in preaching. The preach, so is a message. Forgiveness of sin, God's repentance is a message. Okay, you're reading it. It's a message. So when that there is a man says, here remit and remitted, they already knew that was a message. Okay, you're reading it. Okay, you're reading it. Aha. Glory to God. How are following that? So, we say Luke account now shows us that Jesus is reading from the 39 books. And if Jesus is reading from the 39 books, Jesus is God, it then means the instructions of Jesus, knowing that he's reading from the 39 books, he's reading all those instructions from Scripture. Don't worry, one day I'll find time to show you those instructions together from Scripture. Hallelujah! But we'll be looking at it, right? Genesis. But most of us will just stay in Genesis. It's a reason. We are going to take up those books into the week. Hallelujah. One by each. Because we call that God's instructional through scripture. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So when he says all the earth, mark those words, all the earth, all the nations, you discover that begin at Jerusalem, right? You discover that God's instruction, right from the Genesis also, will be in all the earth. God's instruction will not be for a specific person or specific people, but it will be for all men. What does it mean? God's instruction, when I mean God's instruction for, it will be to his people for all men. Did you see that? Amen. Amen. God's instruction will be towards all men. That will be good. Paul put it this way, all men be saved. So God starts to study for all men. Or God starts is for all men to be saved. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I told us also that God's fire will be seen in these activities. In these activities of God starts in all the earth. God's fire will be in activity. Remember, yeah, I don't use to preach, I just love the Lord. I just want to have a personal salvation with him. I don't want to talk to him. I just want to just wake up in the morning, be just praising and thanking. I just can't have, I want my fire to be. You don't have fire and conquer me. You don't have any single fire. Your fire is in activity. Fire of God is in what? Activity. Never forget that. And also, strange fire or not having fire at all is where? Activity. So you're saying, I don't want to, I want to sit on the fence, it's an activity. There's nothing neutral. Amen. Amen. It's the activity of being idle is an activity. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So, when Jesus reads from the 39 books, it then means that as disciples of Jesus, we are going to read from the same books. For his disciples, his apostles, we're going to read from the same books. And interpret it the same way he interpreted. Their interpretation will not be different from Jesus' interpretation. It will be the same. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It will be the same. Look at Jesus' teaching. Jesus' teaching. Look at Peter's teaching. And look at Jesus' teaching in Acts of Apostles chapter 3. We're not going to do that today. You discover that it was a sin. Peter had picked everything Jesus said within the 40 days and was teaching. Amen. Because they are going to teach in the same pattern. The same way. Hallelujah. They heard John and Peter in Acts 4. And what did they say? They took note of them that they've been with Jesus. Hallelujah. So they were not learning. They were not letters. But they took note of them. And they've been with Jesus. Hallelujah. That means they understood the Father. They talked like Jesus. What are they doing? They talk like Jesus. Glory to God. They talk like him. Very vital. So, if they talk like Jesus, let's see how did Jesus interpret. In Luke 24, verses 44, I mean verse 27, it says, beginning at Moses. Mark down what? Beginning at Moses. And all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures and things concerning himself. 44. He had the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things were to fulfill, which were written in the law of Moses. You see that? The law of Moses. Now, what did they call scripture, the 39 books? They called it scriptures. They called it the law of Moses. They called it the prophets. Okay, I hear Moses and the prophets. So, Jesus, Luke would say Jesus began to teach from Moses, which is from Genesis. So, use that word beginning at Moses, Archaeus Hells. When you use that word Archaeus, it is for his past. A path, a model. Somebody used for a restart. What is that? A model, a restart. Hallelujah. Showing you when he's using the word Archaeus Hells, it means Jesus started reading from Moses. Genesis, showing you that Moses is the model for writing. Or is that writer that every other writer is going to follow? He is the proton. Proton is a shade of the word beginning. He's a proton of writing in scripture. He's the proton of writing in scriptures. Are you following me? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, How scripture should be read will be from Moses, interpreted from Moses. Amen. I love what I wrote here. I said, a law minister once said, every major truth begins at Genesis. Every major truth will find its origin from Genesis. I love that. Another minister, renowned by love and respect to tomorrow, who said that every major truth will have their seed form in Genesis. It will be types and shadows in the Exodus or in the prophets. It will be it will be found in the word become flesh in the four gospels, a practice of the local church in the book of Acts, and an instruction in the Ephesians. How about that? Well, that is some cliche if you don't really explain it well. And I said in my notes, I'm going to explain it later as the year goes by. Hallelujah. Glory to God that we're not having a full grasp of that. Hallelujah. So the disciples will teach like Jesus from Genesis. Hallelujah. Don't teach like Jesus from Genesis. From the Genesis. Okay. In fact, it goes into how they wrote. So right from the Genesis. Look at the writers of the synoptic. In Matthew chapter 1, Matthew will use the word the book of the genealogy of generations, genosos, a shade of the word Genesis in the Greek or in the English, anyone. A shade of the word Genesis, in the generation of Genesis of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. You see that? Now it says Genesis is the Genesis, the beginning is the Genesis of Jesus Christ. So what they're saying is the Genesis of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Meaning he's telling you what I want to write to you here will be found from the Genesis. You see that? That's what he's saying there. In Mark chapter 1, so that you know that they always paid attention to how it is written from the Genesis. So Genesis will form the pattern. Genesis will form how words are used. Make sure you get that. Genesis will form a pattern. A pattern. So, we want to know how is the word used. Remember I taught on that. Before, how was it used from Moses? How did Moses use that word? How Moses will use that word, 90% of the time will tell how that word will be used by other writers. Amen. Amen. What will follow that? Glory to God. Glory to God. It's going to form how other writers are going to use the word. In Mark 1, he used the word arche, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So he says the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Genesis, is what? The beginning of the gospel. That's what you have to see there. Like that, we get to John. John 1:1. John will say, in the beginning was the word. Now remember I told you the word word there is the word logos, from the Hebrew word dabar. Dabar. I guess I said this on Sunday. And I said the word Daba goes beyond words. Hallelujah. Daba is also a person. So you have to go back again and look at from Genesis. How does Moses use the word Daba? Daba is used not just for words, but also for a person. So he said that person is God. And the word is God. I hope you're following me. So that person we're going to look at also. Not in the city, but something needs to pay attention to. How does Moses use words? Will tell how they're going to use words. Amen. That's it. You will discover that what they wrote was for you to see, not just Jesus' story. Because Jesus' story was in the town. Hope I told you that. You know that, right? You had Jesus' story in the town. You had this about Jesus. But do you know writing Jesus' story again? Everybody knew about Jesus. You can do 24. When Jesus showed up with the two guys at their mouth, what did they say to him? He said, I knew that you don't know what has befallen in the city. You see that? Concerning Jesus of Nazareth. That means everybody knew of Jesus. Okay, you know. They knew Jesus' story. But knowing Jesus' story doesn't get a man saved. Okay, you know that? knowing Jesus' story does not get them answered. That's why you get funny, When you hear people say, I watched Jesus film and I was moved to tears. How can you say that? And I just asked Jesus, moving. People are crying, you want to give your life to Christ, come outside. You want to give your life to Christ, come outside. In salvation, you don't give Jesus anything. Hallelujah. If you're not going to say, are you going to say, what do you say? What do you want to say? Oh, the movie touched my heart. When this, you know, going around shouting, I am doing God, and he rescued Jesus. Why would you, why would the heart break when you see a big man asking God? The heart will break. Yeah? I am in Jesus as a God. Come on. Yeah? Come on. Glory God. So are you trying to say, somebody has asked me this before, are you trying to say that Jesus is him has never won anything? Sure. And you want me to talk with my two mouths, that you know what to say. Nonsense. I said that. That's not what we are talking about. I just said, what we are talking about is that Jesus said, go and preach the gospel. And preach it and be in form of acting. Sure, we're alright. Jesus in his day had choreography. They had move. They acted. Drama did not start yesterday. Drama was in existence in the name of Jesus. You don't know? Even before Jesus. Go and check. Ask. Before Jesus, he did nothing. You act it. Imagine act two. When we then gather, these are not drinking as you suppose. But that was told by the prophet Joel. Come on, John, play Jesus. Peter, I'm going to play God. Come on, let's act it for them. Mary Magdalene, you know how you remember give birth to Jesus? Yeah. You act it.
Yeah.
Remember they act it. Silent night. Holy man, John with your baby breathing. Whoa, that is it. And I grew up. Look at me and I think, yo, what happened here?
They won't have even half a soul.
Yeah, they preached. Glory to God. They preached. And they like choreography. Oh, the one John Agape sir. Don't think he will size up our meeting with movie. And I said, okay, let's ask movies. Say this way. And I tell movies. Say, so I tell God. Oh, and I'll slug him again. Oh, there you go, I'll slug somebody. Say, I pray. Say, oh! Say, oh, I touched my heart. I got saved. I see your salvation. Amen. 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 Glory to God. So, they didn't complete the movie. Wisdom will have acted the guy at the gate to heaven. I know every fan, everybody I met in the movie has to know him. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. But you understand what I'm saying? The word is to preach. Preach. Hallelujah. So they were not writing stories. Your story wasn't time. So stories don't exist. What were they writing? They were writing Genesis. Writing Exodus, writing Leviticus, and saying it is fulfilled in the lifestyle of this man. Hallelujah. Okay, you're hearing me. Okay, you're hearing me. Say, look at Genesis. The writing is fulfillment of scripture in the life and in the person of Jesus. If that is scripture fulfilled. Okay, you're hearing that. That is scripture fulfilled. So the writing is for you to see. So therefore, you can't say that the four gospel is just eyewitness alone. No, it is eyewitness that has revelation. You don't say the four gospels are just head knowledge. No! The four gospel is God's revelation. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Glory to God! Hallelujah! You know, John will say something, say, therefore we know we no man after the flesh. Know him by his level, therefore they say, now know him no more after the flesh. Hallelujah. That means it's revelation they were writing. That's what you see. It's not my story. It's revelation. Okay, you're in that. It's revelation. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Remember, Jesus
did allow them to tell his story while he was still with them. Why? While he was in the incarnation. Why didn't he? In fact, he would tell them at several points, don't say it. Don't tell anyone. Don't tell it. Why? Others were broadcasting, but his disciples, he gave them straight warning. Don't say it. Why? After the 40 days, he was not teaching them. He had to go into all the world. Hallelujah. So they now, you now know how to tell my story. So Jesus, in the resurrection, didn't tell his story. Listen, Jesus in the resurrection didn't tell his story as a mere story. He told his story as scripture fulfilled. Hallelujah. He taught his story from scriptures. Hallelujah. That was why, you know, while he was with them, they didn't understand John 2. While he was with them, they didn't understand John 2. They felt Jesus was going to give them job. When he said, destroy this temple, I will build it in 3 days. So that, Master is going to give us serious job, yes. We are going to do proper work. You don't know? Say, destroy this temple, I will build it in 3 days. He said, He said, Master, can you carry block? Wisdom of Yah like this, can you carry cement? Similar stuff. Can you meet shovel? You know? Master wants to give us work. Realize! You build it. They didn't understand. Do you know when they understood that story? They understood that story in the resurrection. That he wasn't talking about destroying the temple, physical temple. He was talking about the temple of his body. Did you see that? So that means he now had to teach them temple reality from the scriptures. Tell you many lessons that Moses' temple was not a temple. Ha ha! Amen! Hope you're following me. For the temple that he would build in 3 days. Hope you're following that. The temple he would build in 3 days. He made them see. He made them see that, hey, Noah's ark is not it. Moses' ark is not it. Moses' ark is not it. The real temple will be the temple of my body in the resurrection. Hope you're following that. Yes. So Jesus' story has to be told from scriptures. Hope you're following me. Hope you're following me. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So there is vital. So you read through scripture. That's it. When the Lord tells his disciples, teaching them in Matthew 28, it means, one, his disciples are going to interpret like he did, making his disciples interpreters. That means, listen, that means, when he says teaching them, remember at the background is the local church, right? Teaching them to observe. It then implies that the local church, listen, the local church is where scripture should be properly interpreted. I'll put it like this. Local church should be an interpreter's class where scriptures are properly interpreted. That's what the local church should be. Hallelujah. Because the believer is an interpreter. The teaching them. How are you going to teach from? From Genesis down to Revelations now. Hallelujah. The word scriptures is designed. Look up now. The word scriptures is designed. It's not designed and, you know, it's going to get a bit louder. Scriptures is not designed for you to go and read it on your own and understand. Amen. I just want to read my Bible on my own and understand. That is Satan in your head. Scripture is designed for you to be taught so that you can reread. Okay, scripture is designed for you to be taught. You need to be taught scripture. Hallelujah. That's why he was pastor. He was leader to teach us and to guide us. Hallelujah. So scriptures is, you're supposed to be taught scriptures. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Okay, follow me. No one man can properly on his own interpret scriptures. That is designed. Most of some errors we've had, I always say,
Many of the some errors we've had around the church world are the errors that have been that are born out of personal one person trying to read and interpret scriptures on this. For scriptures have been interpreted from Hebrew to Greek. He took them, no one person did it. Septuagint was interpreted by 70. There's no one 70, no 70 people that came out from the school with taught classes. What do they do? Not only that we managed to go to school, there are 70 scholars. Yes! Yes, we still have to go back again to reread. Children, we have NIV. NIV is not available by one person, your King James. No one knows. King James have generation of interpreter. You don't know? When they will give you one, just one verse to go and interpret, it will take you years still looking for the word. So interpretation is not something you just go and say, I have the mastery of, like I used to do, I have the mastery of, that's nonsense. Mastery of what? Two only three come. I buy you more three. Nonsense. Not only two only three. Only all. Hallelujah. This is nonsense. Amen. You just need to know only three. They will slay you. Who will know you? The slayer in the race, as for what? You don't know what you are saying. Hallelujah. They do not slay you. Some people will have maybe you preaching more than me. Why do you think they will slay? They say they will slay my pastor. You are not aware. It's your pastor that they will slay. Why do you think they slay you? See, my pastor is only three. They will slay you. Are you doing what? You waiting for what? The resurrection. You are wicked. They do not slay. You want to enjoy. They should not slay your pastor. Stop that now. Yeah. So you are going to say, pastor, you say, they couldn't say it because I'm their pastor. So, watching you, you are our senior. So watching you, when you are taking, we will follow you. Stop nonsense. Yes. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Yeah. So they say, you know our pastor, we're a global church. Our pastor is going to be slain. It's time to come. Where? Come on. He said, you are almost there. But we were able to preach out that we're already in the extra time. The world will still come to an end. So then the Antichrist will be revealed before we'll be raptured. The Antichrist will be revealed. And you, how do you know that? So many start to be slain for 3.5 years. Who? My pastor. He's not only your pastor. I know your pastor. He's you have good life. Your pastor doesn't have good life. They will slay him. And then his carcasses will not be around anymore. They will not be looking and laughing. And later, see the Spirit of God will not enter them. They will not enter it. Who taught you that doctrine? The pastor. He's our pastor. I will deny you. Yeah. Did you see it on the website? Is it on the website? I did not teach it. Amen! So let's begin to look at what happened. Glory to God. So, you know, when it comes to interpretation, so teaching is designed that way for you to be taught. Hallelujah! For you to be taught. Have that interaction. So be careful of that thing that tells you can do it on your own. That is not the Spirit of God. Obey. That is not the Spirit of God. That is the Spirit of error in competition. I can know it of my own. No! Not about my nose. I'm teaching you. I'm telling you. I'm not being led to talk like this. Amen? Be careful of it. I say I want to do it on my own. I will just love God on my own. I just want to just pray on my own. It comes to like that. Little by little. Little by little. How about this? Let's study together. Let's listen to my pastor's message and look at these things together. Hallelujah. Again. And edify ourselves again. Stop that nonsense of how to do it. Amen.
Amen. Me as your pastor, I put you. We are still carrying and Holy Spirit. Learn only yourself. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen, amen, amen. Amen. So, the local church is where we are taught, where we are schooled. Glory to God. So, we can also say what we learn in the local church is Bible interpretation. How about that? Amen? We are taught Bible interpretation. So that means the believers are interpreters. So in Bible interpretation now,
keep an eye for me on 85. Why it's called me to continue. I want to get beyond what I thought of service. Like how I have all the years to teach. Amen. Amen. Is this new battery that is on? Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So therefore, if all believers are interpreters, that means I must be diligent in my local church where I'm taught Bible interpretation, right? So that's it. The goal of Bible interpretation, like I've always said to us, is to find out what was in the mind of the writer when they wrote the scriptures. What was in the heart of the writer when they wrote? What was in Moses' mind when he was writing? What was in his mind? What was in his mind? And we said to answer what was in Moses' mind, we said, we'll first of all ask a question, what was the reason behind the reason for Moses' writing? Was that what we said on Sunday? Right? There was a reason behind the reason for Moses' writing. So we said, what was that reason? In Exodus chapter 3, 4 verses 1 to 17. Read that at home. When get home. Exodus 3, 4 verses 1 to 17. God appeared. Or God spoke to Moses from the burning bush experience, and he said to Moses to go to the children of Israel. When Moses asked him, what would he tell the children of Israel? Before then, in verses 12, he gave Moses a word. He said, this shall be a sign that you know that I have sent you. He said, when you have delivered the children of Israel out of Egypt, there be a token, certainly. When you put them out of the land of Egypt, you shall serve me upon this mountain. Serve it. Amen. Serve it. You will serve me. That is worship. Right? Verse 12. Look at verse 14. He now says, verse 13, I say, what would they say? Who would they say sent me? What is your name? He now says, tell them, I am that I am. Okay, hear me. They tell them what? I am that I am has sent you. Hallelujah. And when you hear the word, I am that I am is a proper name. Was that what we said? Is a proper name. So I am a sent you. Before you go further, you also told them that he also told Moses that he is the God of Abraham, Isaac and Jacob. If you read down to verse 17. Amen. The God of Abraham, Isaac and Jacob. That would be verses 8. Oh, sorry. I called 8. First of all, in verse 10, he says he is the God of Israel. I mean the God of Israel. In verse 15, he says he is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Hallelujah. I am that I am. They said, I am God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Now, listen. It's also what we explore as we get into our teaching. So, when he says, I am God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, that means, listen, the God of your fathers. Something else we're going to see is that what Moses is going to bring them out, Moses is going to be teaching them about the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Hallelujah! God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Because that was what was passed down before now. How was God teaching? Or how was God known? Because God was known via oral tradition.
oral tradition. Moses was the first to write in scripture, listen, but God's oracle pre-existed Moses. God's oracle, the oracle of God, pre-existed Moses. So how was God known from generation to generation? God was known from generation to generation via oral tradition. Via oral tradition, right? So message was passed from generation to generation to generation to generation. Now Moses now put them down in writing. Hallelujah. Moses had to put them down in writing. Now, in putting it down in writing, in talking about the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, you have to trace their origin down to Adam. Trace the origin of Abraham down to Adam. So, what is Moses doing? Moses is teaching the children of Israel. But take note, that when he went to Pharaoh, he didn't go to Pharaoh to say, Pharaoh, get my children out of Israel. Now! No, he would have died. He went with the same message. I'm sure about that, right? He went with the same message. So, Moses' encounter with Pharaoh was a message. The same message, the same assignment given to Adam. To God's man in Genesis 1:3. Moses went to Pharaoh with the same message. He was going to talk to Pharaoh about the God of Israel. He was talking to Pharaoh about Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Talk to Pharaoh about Adam. And what will be the sign of it? When you let the children of Israel go to the land that God has called them to go. Amen? That will have all the things about them. So, Pharaoh will say, no. And Moses will have dropped his staff. And then this is the two people you see. Bam! And what did Pharaoh do? Moses is now a magician. Call my magician. Did you see that? Now become a context of gods. Don't do that. Don't want to show up. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. How are you following me? So Moses to Pharaoh is teaching. It's a teaching class. Glory to God. Glory to God. So he says, you will teach them. So that means, when Moses was to write, Moses is writing so that what? The children of Israel will know the God of their father. Did you see that? How are you following that? The children of Israel will know who? The God of their father. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So that's what he's going to write. So Genesis is a Genesis of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. How are you following this? Hallelujah. How are you following that? So the reason for Genesis is Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Or put it, the reason for Genesis is God wants him to be known, original of Israel, as the God of their father. So Moses will put them down. Which will lead to worship. Right? Did you see that? Or you will serve me on this mountain. So therefore, Genesis is not biology, it's not science. No, it's not the material world. Materialism, no! It's not evolution, no! Genesis is Moses writing God's oracle with a known history. What's about God's oracle? Right? We didn't know the history today. I think this is God's oracle in it. Hallelujah. 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 So therefore, the reason for writing will be God's study. The reason for writing Genesis, which will be the reason for writing Exodus, the Bible, Numbers, the children of Israel, like that, will be what? Remember, Moses is what? Model, right? So that is the reason for writing is God's study. The reason for writing is theology. Very interesting. The reason for writing is theology. God wanting to be known to his people. Hope you're hearing me. It's church. So, since what they wrote concerning is about God, right? And the aim of interpretation is to find out what was in the right hand of the writer when the mind of the writer when they wrote, right? Right? Therefore, there's a dilemma. He's not around. The writer is not here. So, what was the right thing is at this point of this people? He's not here. We are left with his text. Therefore, we can see in Bible interpretation, mark these 2 points. A text cannot mean today what it never meant when it was written. Very vital.
The text cannot mean today what it never meant when it was written.
Because the text carries both the intention, the audience, and the construction of the writer. The intention, audience, and construction of the writer. Therefore, it can't mean today whatever meant when it was written. If the text means today, different, or what the text means today is different from what it meant when the writer was writing, that means
error is in the air.
It must be the same. It must not change.
Hallelujah. Secondly, we must allow the text to interpret itself. We must allow the text to interpret itself today in our world, in our modern world.
Don't read scriptures. I'll take this down. That was written thousands of years ago into my language today. Don't read into my language today.
Hallelujah.
I must subject words to how it was used first. So that means two things will stand out in Bible interpretation. Very vital. The text and the audience. The text itself and the audience. The text and the audience of their work. For the audience will determine the language and the construction. So the text and the audience of the writer are key and king.
Hallelujah. And on last week Sunday we look at the word bless. And we said today in our world, if you hear the word bless,
what comes to your mind is no journey to something. You're blessed. Or another new word for blessed now is chilling. Sir, come and chilling it. It means come and bless me. Sir, who should bless me today? Police started on the road. Is there anything for the boy? Bless me now. Bless your boy. Bless your boy and give me something. That's your word. So he's not there. And God bless Abraham. Now say, So God gives money to Abraham. People now read prosperity there. That God will give you money. I say this and I'll say it as we close.
Two things. I'll say it as we close. Anything that you do, or anything that you do, and an unbeliever does, and listen, anything that an unbeliever can do that you can do and yield the same result, Jesus didn't die for you to have it. I'll put it like this.
You don't need to pray to have it. For example, an unbeliever goes to work, you go to work. Earn salary. If an unbeliever salary is more than your own, in fact, if your boss in the office is not an unbeliever. And he has more money than you. Come on, don't be silly. Amen. Jesus didn't die for that. Amen. You know, you help your life. Don't work. Make money and make money well. Hallelujah. Make money. I told us on Sunday, right? Be the best you can be in your field. Be the best. Make money. Because Jesus needs your money.
They're looking at me. We'll get to a point in this teaching. I always know when you teach giving. It's a point to get everybody gets quiet. Everybody doesn't listen at you. It's your money we are talking about. So you bring it out this time. You look at it and say, Pastor, calm down. Amen.
It's the truth. I've been teaching this for a long time. So I know when it gets to the point. Some of them, you look at it, they're writing me. They're not writing anything.
Look at this area. Amen. But that's just the truth. Glory to God. The second thing. And we'll look at this next week. I've given you a bit of what I want to tell you, then we'll just take it up from there. Interpreting words and then looking at it very well.
Number two is Abraham. When I say Abraham and God blessed Abraham. God blessed Abraham. Look at Genesis 12, verses 7 and 8. That is how I will close. Though I've not gotten to where I want to get to in my notes, but Genesis 12, 3.
Oh, verse 2, he said, I'll make thee a great nation and I'll bless thee. I'll make thy name great and thou shalt be a blessing. And I'll bless them that bless thee and I'll curse them that curse thee. And I say, if you don't have money, God is cursing you. Come on. I'm blessed so much of God. I can never be broke a day, another day in my life. I drank that yesterday. Say, being broke. Being broke is not the absence of money in my pocket. Being broke is faith in the revelation of God that money is going to hit my account at the moment. You are broke today. Live tomorrow to come. I remember one time like that, I was in school. I didn't have money. I guess I refuse to be broke. Oh God, you have money. I refuse to be broke.
You have to be serious, you have money.
I start at home. I'm not going to take it too far. I say God's word.
Five.
And I sleep with your stomach on the bed. You wake up. No money still. At this time, you can't go to the bank again. I had bag of garlic. But this time, he's almost finished. Can I have four guys? Can I have four water? You don't want to drink it immediately. You don't leave it. The earth was a task for my father, Jack, it rose up. He said, yeah, dry bush arise again. Oh, again! Dry bush arise again. He said, it rose till all my sugar was finished. No money to go and buy sugar now. I said, it's okay, I started drinking. And I spent my letter there. I'm going to take this like a king because I know you got your room. Somebody said, I was looking at it today. I said, I can't be broke. I'm eating garri because I know my tomorrow is going to be bright. So I'm taking it like a king today. Broke doesn't exist in my dictionary. B-R-O-K-E. Go and check it. Go and check it in your dictionary. You're a guy. You are broke. No, people are broke at it. Just say please. The next day, it was telling on me. One of my roommates looked at me. I didn't tell anybody this part. He's a pastor today.
I was
in chapter last year. Towards the end of last year. So the man looked at me. I said, man, pastor. Papa, your choice. I said, the greater one lives with me. Did he even qualify? He was the final year. I was just the second year. I guess. Yeah, second year. He just understood my, just went downstairs. He was over. And let's see. I came upstairs. I just want to say, part of this for you. He kept the money. Yeah, it was coming there. And so that should be case you want to eat in the afternoon and you left. And I said, the end is the Lord and the food of the Lord. Oh, God, you are blue. As soon as he left the room, I bounced on it. I was hungry.
Don't deceive yourself. You are hungry.
Say, no. Some people now combat hunger strike too fast.
Tell me yourself.
Nobody told me. I called home. I need money. Book is not entry. It's the money that needs to enter. Amen. So, I said this. God didn't, when God called Abraham, listen, when God called Abraham, Abraham was already wealthy. God called Abraham a wealthy guy. And I showed us on Sunday, right? Look at chapter 12 there. This is 5. In their world, wealthy men are known by the amount of slaves you have and by the captives you have. Verse 12, verse 5, and Abraham took Sarai's wife and Lot's brother's son and all their substance. that they had, that they had gathered, and the soul that they have gotten, souls they've gotten in Haran. That is prosperity. He had souls, slaves. Did you see that? And I showed you that of Jacob. We're going to look at that next week. Jacob, he had slaves. Amen? Jacob was blessed. In fact, the father said, your father's children shall bow to thee, to Jacob. Say, you eat of the dew of heaven, all the fatness of the earth, like this, you like the fatness, you have the fatness of the earth. And yet, he was the one about to his brother. Wanted to give his brother small fruits that he had. Look at his brother said, you have men, 400 and two rats. Come on. Don't embarrass yourself. But he had the blessing. Tell me, the blessing is not about money. And that means you have to investigate what really is the blessing of God. Hallelujah. What is the blessing of God? It's something you have to investigate again. It's not about money. Hallelujah. Abraham was very wealthy before God called him. So that means I have to investigate again and see. Not within my world of blessing at Roger, money into Scripture. Hallelujah. Bless.
Just lift up your voice and let's be on your feet and let's thank the Lord.